Welcome back to Rhymes with Decora, a podcast project of Inspired Media, telling stories about communities you love by people you trust. A little bit different intro to this show. A recording of a Grieg piece from Songerfest in 2018. Lund Chaining. Mr. David Judish, did I get that right?
You got it.
Were we close?
Lund Chaining, which means land sighting.
A very special guest on today's show, Dr. David Judish, I should say. It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to
be here and chat. Thank you.
It is truly an honor. You are someone that I grew up knowing my entire life. Your son Aaron was just a little bit older than me. Your son Nathaniel is a little bit older than my brother. All West Side kids. We enjoyed those things in common. But your history, your experience, your work here in Decora is something that is amazing, and the reason we're talking about it has to do with Norwegian singing today, right?
It sure does.
I love it. The thing we're focusing on, I think, in this episode mostly is Songerfest, which is coming up in June, the first week of June. Do you want to tell us what is Songerfest?
Well, Songerfest occurs every 2 years on the even years, and a host chorus that belongs to the Norwegian Singers Association of America, NSAA, will host a Songerfest. And years ago, Songerfest came to Decora in 1966. Many people don't know this, but Nordic Fest here in Decora was almost a direct result of that 1966 Songerfest. In those days, they would parade down the middle of town, and then they would sing maybe at some prominent location, and people would notice them, and that was their way of inviting people to come to their big massed choir concert. And so every 2 years, a chorus will host Songerfest and invite other choruses to come. Years ago, we would do individual performances of each group. That would be a part of the three-day affair. And then usually it would end up with a massed choir. And in those days, back in the 60s, there were several hundred singers who would participate.
Absolutely. An incredible history. And we're going to unpack some of that history here shortly. You know, the NSAA, right? The Norwegian Singers Association of America.
Right.
A fascinating organization founded in the later 1800s, 1885.
1892.
Mm-hmm. 92. Thank you. But of course, you know, groups of Norwegian American immigrants who kind of started founding their own groups around the upper Midwest, around the country, right? Let's talk a little bit about that. So the Lurin Singers, of course, in Decora are a great example of this, an organization that you have been involved with since what year?
Well, I began in 1975.
Yes.
That was my first year.
So that would mark 49 years or something along that. Is that about right?
Finishing up my 49th year.
Yeah. Incredible.
So, yeah, the Norwegian American Male Chorus, it has been said that when Norwegians would move to the Midwest, for example, the first thing they would do is to form a male chorus, and then the next thing they would do is to begin a congregation.
Oh, wow.
So this has been going on for a long time, and there used to be a lot of Norwegian American male choruses. At one time, there were three of them here in Decora.
Oh, wow.
I've since forgotten all their names, but they were still, I think, active in the early 1900s, maybe up until 1950 or so. Lurin is the one that has survived, and we started, was founded in 1868.
That's incredible. It's an amazing history and lineage. And again, that idea that it was, groups of immigrants who had come to this country were finding a new life, but also hanging on to some of those roots and probably a little homesick, right? I mean, really just
exactly.
Looking for ways to create that community that they could relate to, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, the Lurin Singing Society, Lurin Sangforening is the what they called themselves, started out as a quartet. And let's see, I think there were a couple of Nelsons and an Engebretson, and I can't remember the other fellow's name, but there were four guys who liked to get together and sing songs of their homeland. And they officially formed the Lorraine Quartet on March 17th in 1868. And then a few years later, they admitted other folks, and it became the kind of group that we have today. It was choir that was formed.
And that was right here in the Decorah area.
It was right here in Decorah. In fact, I'm not quite sure about the exact history of it, but I know that they did sing in our Steyr Opera House. And there was another place where in town where they held their rehearsals, mm-hmm. where they held their weekly rehearsals. But the important thing to remember about this organization is that they've had a continuous existence since 1868.
That is an incredible history for any organization, in our country at least, right? I mean, that is a long time to hold a group of people together.
Yeah, and there were tough years, you know. They would get into an argument maybe or something, and people would leave. They did significant amounts of singing every year.
Yeah.
Since they were founded.
It's a great piece of history. I think the one year I had found when I was looking through some history before we started here was maybe around 1874, was somewhere in that era for the Steyr Opera House concert.
Okay.
And I think that's something for people who have or haven't seen the Steyr Opera House in the Hotel Winnesheek. You know, that room has been redone in a modern way to hold on to a lot of the character of the room, but it sometimes is easy to forget that there is well over 100 years of history, 150 years of history in that room.
That's right.
And what that means, you know, in a space that has held community and singing and those things. It's a very powerful thing.
Steyr Opera House is very special. Of course, Ole Bull, who was a mentor of Edvard Grieg, the most prolific Norwegian composer, played there. He was a violinist. And
great piece of history.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic, it was a fantastic piece of history. So again, what we're talking about is the Lorraine Singing Society. And of course, they are hosting Songerfest this year at Luther College. And I'm going to give the date right off the bat here so people can catch that. June 8th, Saturday, June 8th, will be the concert at Luther College that is the public opportunity for people to come experience this music.
Correct? That's right. Yeah. It'll be at the Center for Faith and Life, Saturday, June 8th at 7 o'clock. And because this time it's a little different this year, we've had some very generous folks who have given us some funds to sponsor this particular Massed Choir concert.
Fantastic.
And so because of their insistence, this is now going to be a free concert.
Oh, nice.
It'll be really great. And if you... I wouldn't mind mentioning some
Absolutely.
Very important donors. Sons of Norway Foundation mm-hmm. Has given a significant amount. Thrivent Financial is one of the sponsors. The Depot Outlet here in Decorah.
One of our favorite local organizations.
Gallery of Tops, Vesterheim, Aussie Haugen, and as well as other individuals who have given their monies so that we can make this a free concert.
What a great opportunity for the community. And I think what's fun, you know, having grown up in Decorah, I have known of the Lorraine Singers my whole life. And I remember probably a lot of Nordic Fests. My brother was a Nordic dancer, also did just a little bit of singing occasionally. And so that was my exposure. I did not hit the magic year for Nordic dancers, but because my brother was, I got to tag along, of course, to every event.
Cool.
And because of that, you know, every opening ceremony for Nordic Fest, every event, of course, Lorraine would also be there singing. So I had a lot of opportunity to see the group as a younger person. And I think when you grow up in that environment, sometimes you don't even realize how unique it is, right? You just realize, oh, that's the guys singing in Norwegian. Like, of course they're here, right? That doesn't happen everywhere.
Yeah. Well, let me say something about the concert, June 8th. We call it Songerfest. Is that it's not just a bunch of old white fat guys singing Norwegian songs. Our featured soloist is a soprano. And we are also inviting, and they will be, our concert is divided into five parts. And so one of those parts will be a soprano soloist. Her name is Rachel Storley, comes from Spring Grove. She works at Luther College.
Absolutely.
And then the other group, the other women's chorus is right here in Decorah, one of our community choruses right here in Decorah, the Northern Lights. And their director is Rachel Burrish. Many yes. people know her. Yep. And they will... they will sing a couple of songs as a part of that concert. So it isn't just all men. We will have some female participation as well. Two of the songs that we've selected to do are by female composers, too.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and just that idea, again, of that community of bringing together not just a group that sings, but several groups that sing to sing together is a very powerful thing, right? You know, in the second half of the show, I think we'll unpack a little bit of history, because I think your personal story really lies out sort of a map for why these organizations are important and the lineage and some of the work that needs to be done to make sure they keep existing, right? So we'll save that for a couple minutes.
Okay.
Hang a little lantern on that. But I think what's amazing is when you bring these groups together, it's, you know, it's something much larger than the whole, right?
Yeah, well, that's the thing about sports, about athletics, theater, and choral singing, music making in ensembles, is that you bring people together from all walks of life. I mean, our group in the Lurin Singers, I know, represent politically far left, far right, every place in the middle, religiously the same, economically the same. We come from every aspect of human life, but we're doing something together, which means a lot.
Yeah.
It creates the feeling of family, of brotherhood, that is unique, I think. And it's important, especially in this day and age when we tend to be divided. We either tend to be this way or that way. And
that sense of community, I
yeah,
think, right? And,
exactly.
And when you look back on the lineage and the history of it, I mean, that was really what a lot of these original founders, if they did, but they knew they were founders or not, right? But the original reason these people were getting together was to create that sense.
Was to
right?
be together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to sing the things that they knew.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's a great, I love, you know, the entire meaning behind it. Something else you touched on is that, you know, again, it's not just a group of old guys either. What's really fun to me, especially for the Lurin Singers here in Decorah. Now, you know, we can talk a little bit in the second half too. There are a lot of these groups that have not made the jump into, you know, modern time just because of lineage or place or time or, you know, any of those things. And the pandemic, of course, you mentioned was hard on some of those.
Right.
But what Lurin is seen are some younger folks being interested,
yes,
right?
Yes, we are. You know, years ago when I started, it would be not uncommon for some person to come up to me and to say, yeah, I really like to sing with the Lurin Singers, but I won't do that until I retire. Well, we're lucky right now to have, I think, at least 15 guys who are not retired. And out of a membership of, or a paid membership of 65 right now, that's a significant number. And we hope we can continue that. I'm hoping that the Lurin Singers can remain healthy for a long, long time.
Absolutely. A friend of mine, Carl Hockenstad, of course, is one of those members. Chris Hadley, I'll also mention, who's had a lot of involvement with the group here in recent
John
years.
John Cook.
Yeah, just, you know, really, it's amazing to see. And I think that, you know, when you see those kinds of younger folks getting involved in an organization, I think it shows that there is a larger purpose and that, you know, the tradition is really just phenomenal. I love it. My guest today, David Judish, Dr. David Judish, the director of the Lurin Singers, also the director in chief for the Norwegian Singers Association of America, NSAA. David, I really appreciate you being here. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about some history and a few more things with the Lurin Singers and the NSSA. So appreciate
okay.
it. We'll be right back.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, this is Erin Henning-Nichols, founder and editor-in-chief of Inspired Magazine. Rhymes with Decor is brought to you by Inspired Media, bringing you positive news since 2007. Find us on stands across the Driftless, or check out our new website, or become a member at iloveinspired.com, creating stories about communities you love by people you trust. Thanks for being inspired.
The glorious sounds of Norwegian Singers Association of America, Sangerfest, from 2018, a recording, a fantastic Grieg piece. Lund Chaining, so much fun. Dr. Judish, I'll say, thank you for being here. It's really fun to have, this is a really different sound for my podcast, which is fun. And I think something that'll catch people off guard, which is fantastic. You know, choral music is something I think that people either have experience with and identify with, or if they haven't had that experience in their life, getting to attend a choral concert, especially in a hall like the CFL, which is made for such a thing, right?
Absolutely.
Can really just be a transformative experience, right? A really interesting thing to do. So, you know, Sangerfest coming up on June 8th will be that opportunity for people to experience that. But it's not just singing in Norwegian too, right? Can you tell us a little bit more about the body of work that you tend to cover, right?
Well, we try to do contemporary choral music, although I would say probably half of our concert repertoire for this particular event is going to be from Scandinavian composers, two of which happen to be female. Agata Bakker-Grøndahl is one of our pieces that we are she wrote a song that we were going to perform. She was Edvard Grieg's contemporary, and she was actually one of his favorites to play his A minor piano concerto.
Wow.
And this is a very nice, simple little piece. Knut Nystedt is very well known across the globe, very prolific Norwegian composer. A guy by the name of Brolin, who wrote a Swedish piece called Vackra Sky, beautiful cloud, beautiful sky.
Nice.
And then another Danish composer, Niels Gade, a very sweet, lovely, short piece called Morgensang af Elverskud. And we do, normally we sing a kind of a patriotic number. This year we're doing George M. Cohen's it's a piece called Patriotic Fantasy.
Oh, nice.
And so it's a group of songs strung together,
yeah,
called Patriotic Fantasy. We do some sacred numbers. We'll use percussion. We'll use a couple of djembes on a piece called Keep Your Lamps.
Oh, yeah.
And we do sing a musical. So this time it's Get Me to the Church on Time from My Fair Lady. And we close.
Crowd pleaser there.
And we close our concerts with a piece that I think you played in the intro here, called Landchaining, which is land sighting. And that, of course, is by Edvard Grieg as well.
Yeah.
So we do a varied repertoire, and that's what we try to do with the Lurin Singers. As time has gone by, from the time that I started back in the 70s, I find that we're doing more and more American music. We're doing perhaps fewer Scandinavian composers, but this particular one, we will be using almost half of our scores will come from Scandinavia.
Yeah.
So that's the repertoire that we'll be doing.
It's great. We have
a very, very skilled brass ensemble who will be accompanying us as well on a couple of those pieces.
Very nice.
So it should be interesting and exciting for all different kinds of people.
You mentioned just a moment ago, since you're beginning with the group, and I think it's worth running down just a quick lineage of your background, because I think it helps sort of identify where the group is, where it's going, and some of those things. You, of course, have a great history with Luther College and your time of here in Decorah in your professional career. But people may or may not know, you're also an Eastern Iowa native, right?
I am. I grew up on a farm in Bremer County, Iowa.
Love that.
And my high school was Wapsie Valley. That's probably, most people would know, it's about halfway between Olwine and Waverly.
Yeah.
And so I was a farm boy, and we had dairy cows, we had hogs, chickens, and then later in life, when my brother got married, he took the dairy herd, and we had beef cattle. And my father was really successful at that. He did a great job with selecting the right kinds of cattle. So I have done all of that.
You lived it.
I cultivated corn back in the days when we still cultivated. That's where I got some good singing time. You know, I could get.
Oh my goodness.
That's where I practiced my popular music, was standing up there and
when we're
cultivating corn.
Where many great American singing traditions came from, right? I mean, truly. Interestingly enough, when you went on to higher education, you ended up at the University of Iowa. But if I understand correctly, did you maybe receive a call from someone at Luther along the way?
Yeah, of course. Well, just like hundreds of other people, the guy by the name of Weston H. Noble called me when I was a senior in high school and said, "Why don't you come to Luther College?" Well, I didn't. I made a choice. Went to the University of Iowa and was there for all of my degrees. And then coming here to Luther, and actually it was Weston Noble who said, we need another voice teacher here, and would you consider coming here? And even if you stayed at the University of Iowa to continue your work, it would be just a short trip. Well, this is such a very long story.
I
won't go into
it.
All the gory details, but I had a contract to teach high school out in central Iowa.
Okay.
And I was able to come here instead and have worked there in voice. Solo vocal performance was my area.
Yeah.
And my last degree was in vocal performance and pedagogy, so my professional work has been performance, solo performance.
Someone we could mention who a few people may know from the University of Iowa as well, and your doctorate work was with Harold Stark, is that correct?
Yeah, Prof. Stark. Yeah. We all called him Prof.
Love that.
And he wanted me to stay there and work with him some more. I had a family, and I needed a job.
Yes.
And I became certified to teach in the public schools, and that's how I got a job about in the middle of Iowa, and came here instead.
There's another person in your story, Mr. David Greedy, right? Who became sort of a thread to this story of you getting to Decorah, maybe?
He knew me. We had performed together. He was getting some additional coursework at the University of Iowa during the summers. We sang together in Barbersville and McBride Hall on the campus of the University of Iowa. So we got to know each other. So he knew me, and I'm guessing that had something to do with my being hired here to start back in 1974. And I kind of feel like I lived his life. I mean, he did a lot of the same kinds of things that I did. He was a voice teacher. I was a voice teacher. He staged opera. I did that. He sang in opera, and I did too.
Yeah.
And I've over the years have done about 40-some, 45, I think, maybe, solo roles in opera. Maybe some are major, some were just tiny little minuscule things. He was the director of the Learned Singers first, before me, and said, "I'm going on sabbatical leave. I think you should take over the group now."
I mean, granted, you had moved to Decorah in 1974, and this was in like the following year.
75, yeah. Right. My only work before that was directing a church choir over at Decorah Lutheran Church.
Oh, that's great.
And for a year, and so people knew that I could get people to sing, I suppose.
Yes.
Why don't you take over this job?
So. Interestingly enough, as things start to develop, it was less than a decade later that you started working with the Norwegian Singers Association of America, too, right? It was in the 1980s.
I think so, about 86, and then that was the year we hosted a Sangerfest here. And yeah, that was a unique thing for me. To try to corral all of these. Well, at that time, I think there were about 8 or 9 choruses.
Wow.
That would come from cities like Chicago, mm-hmm. Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, even Sioux City, Iowa. Now, some of those choruses now have fallen by the wayside, but we're still continuing the tradition, and we'll host Sangerfest here in June.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really, really neat lineage of how those groups came to be and then worked together over the years. And of course, coming back to Lurin for one second, I think a really interesting part is both Lurin as an organization, but then with some of the NSAA groups. One of the neat parts about being a part of these organizations is that every so many years, you've also taken tours either around the country, certainly, but actually to Norway and performed for Norwegians, right? I mean, that's a very unique thing as well.
It really is. Yeah, our last trip was to Scandinavia. We went to Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Estonia just this past June, June of 2023, and we had a 2-week tour. The Lurin has gone to Norway. I think the first trip that they made as an organization was in 1969. The next one was in 72 or 73. I think it's 73. And then I was part of these, the next groups to Norway. We went in 1983, 93, 2001, 2015. And then again last summer in 2023.
Wow.
Plus there have been Lurin members who have participated in 2 tours that was sponsored by Norwegian Singers Association in 1995 and also in 2005. In 95, and then there was another group in 1997. That was a combination of the West Coast Norwegian Singers Association, and which is west of the Rocky Mountains, and then our group in the Midwest, the Norwegian Singers Association, and there were 4 busloads, 4 buses. I can't remember the number of singers we had, but we had a similar tour to Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Estonia, and we modeled this particular trip we took last summer mm-hmm. on that trip. And we didn't go to the same places, but we did cover the same countries.
What a spectacular area to cover, truly.
It really was.
How are those performances received in those countries, right? I mean, it has to be such an interesting and fun experience.
You know, we sang in some pretty wonderful venues, some very fancy churches. I would have to say that the one particular chorus, the concert that we made last summer that we did, was in a little town called Skarnes. The history behind that is Skarnes is located about an hour and some minutes from Oslo, and we stayed in Oslo. There was a gentleman from Skarnes who, his name is Kure Karterud, and he came to Luther College to study as a student in the year 1969 and 70. So he sang with the Lurin Singers then. And my wife Gail and I have actually stayed at his home a couple of different times when we were in that area. And he called me up and he got wind of the fact that we were coming to Norway, and he said, you have to come to Skarnes. You have sung here 50 years ago. You have sung here again 40 years ago, and now you have to come and sing. So the venue we had this time in Skarnes was not anything too extravagant. It was a little bit like a black box theater. It had a stage, but they had it laid out just great. And the thing that made that such a heartwarming experience was the connection that this gentleman, Corey, had to the Lorne Singers before. Mm-hmm. We made a presentation. One of our members, Larry Lubert, he's been around longer than I have. He's a woodcarver. And he made a wonderful, neat gift for Corey Carterud. And Corey asked me, one of the first things he said when he talked to me on the phone, he said, is Larry coming? And I said, no, he's not able to come this time. But Larry made this very wonderful carving. There were two individuals singing. One was a person in the Lurin Singers uniform, and then another one in the uniform that his group was called, Norsh Pink. Pink.
That's great.
And anyway... and then a conductor. And so I presented that to him, and he was very touched by that. Another memory from that concert is I recognized several people in the audience. And finally I asked them, I said, if you have been in Decorah, would you please stand? 28 people stood. I could hardly believe it, because they'd all been to Cora. Jim Skirdahl, for example, came to that concert. Do you remember Jim with the Footnotes?
Yes, an incredible string player.
And several other people, Øyvind Gullikson, who many of us knew from Luther College, and his wife, Kari, as well. Kari Grunningsetter was there, and several other folks, people that we had met before in our other tours, came from places like Rakkestad in southern Norway, and drove a couple of hours so that they could be at that concert. It was very special.
Absolutely.
It was a very special moment. Yeah,
just an incredible web, right, that has been woven, a community of people that has been woven over the decades.
Our first concert was in Fana, which is south of Bergen. And the Fana Mannskor and the Lurin Singers have had several concerts together. The Fana Mannskor came here. In fact, I think Gail and I hosted, I think, a couple of members from that in our home when they toured here back in, I don't know when that was, probably in the 80s. And then we have sung with them over there. I think in 1983, we actually stayed with the conductor. His name was Sigmund Skage, who was on the board of Trollhagen, which is where Edvard Grieg lived and composed. And that was a very special event for us to be able to connect with them. And so we sang with them and in the Fana Kirke, in the Fana Church. That particular concert was such a unique experience for us. This church was built, I think, around 1200 or so.
Yeah, wow.
And the Lurin had sung there at least once before, maybe twice. And they had a wonderful reception for us at another venue with food and drinks and singing and stories and jokes.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so that's...
what an incredible chance. I mean, and especially to, like you're saying, perform in some of those venues that are just... They're incredibly impactful just to be inside, nonetheless, to perform in, right?
Yep.
A really amazing history with the Lurin Singers, Dr. David Judish. We're talking about Songerfest on this show as well, Saturday, June 8th at Luther College. The concert will be in the evening. You can find more details. The Lurin Singing Society, you can find online at Lurin, L-U-R-E-N, LurinSingingSociety.com. This information will be coming up in weeks as well, and lots of interesting pieces. Dave, one last thing you're talking about as we make our way out here. An interesting part about the Loran Group, particularly as part of the NSAA, and partially why maybe there's some more staying power in this group and in Decor, of course, we have the resources like Luther College and like Vesterheim. But you actually all as a group have a home here, right? And even some physical spaces, right, that relate to the group, some things like that.
We were honored just this past year to have a donation made to Vesterheim by the son of a former Loran Singers member, Neil Trigstad, was his name, and his son, Craig, and insisted to the administration of Vesterheim that a place be named in honor of the Loran Singers. So we now have a place at Vesterheim in the Heritage Park, and it is called the Loran Singers Plaza. And many of folks who have been there will know that it's located just to the south of the old mill there. And there is a shelter there with tables and chairs. And so it's a place where folks can gather. And I think maybe they have had a wedding reception or two in that area. I'm not sure.
It's a really exceptional space.
It really is. It's an outdoor area. Yeah. And so we do have a place to go. You know, we have a place that carries our name.
Yeah. I love that. It is an incredibly rich history, you know, all the way through the group. The threads are very long and meaningful, and it's just really, really, really neat. You, of course, yourself, going on 50 years of helping shepherd this group along and direct and make it happen, right?
I continue to wave my arms, and they make noises, and they sing. Yes.
It's fantastic. David, it's been so much fun to talk with you today and have you here to tell us a little bit more about Songerfest, the Loran Singing Society, all these things. Again, Songerfest will be coming up June 8th, here since 2024, at the Luther College campus in the CFL, a public concert. The Loran Singing Society sings frequently throughout the year, right? This group performs a couple times throughout the year.
Well,
people can find more information.
We are a little bit different than, say, the other two community choruses, being the one that's a mixed chorus is the Decor Chorale, and then the women's group called the Northern Lights. Their groups get new repertoire, rehearse for 2, 3, 4 months, do a concert in either late November or December, and then another one in the spring. We're a little bit different because we get calls to go sing different places, like Winona, Minnesota, which we did in March. And in Westby, Wisconsin, which we just did on the 21st of April.
Wow. Yeah.
So we've been busy this spring. We'll have a concert that we've performed publicly in March, one in April, the one coming up at Decor Lutheran this Sunday evening.
Yes.
And then again in June. So we've been very, very busy. So that's how we're different. Our repertoire, we need to have repertoire ready to go more or less at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
And so we're able to add, we filter in new pieces as time goes by. Maybe a half a dozen pieces in the fall or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we'll add another piece or two. But we continue to use our current repertoire and we try to sing as varied a repertoire as we can manage.
Yeah.
So that's how we're different.
Spectacular.
Yeah. So we're busy.
I love it. It's a great thing. It is a really fun piece of fabric here in our part of the world. An incredible body of work that continues on. You know, it's a very special thing.
Our motto is, if you're too busy to sing, you're too busy.
That's perfect. I love it. Dr. David Judish, thanks for the time today. Thanks for being with us and telling us so much more about the tradition of Norwegian singing.
Just great. Thank you so much, Benji.
We appreciate it.
Very nice.
You can check it out Saturday, June 8th, or find more at the LorenSingingSociety.com. Keep your eyes out and brush up on your Norwegian. You never know. You could be singing soon.
We'd welcome them.
It's fantastic. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
you've enjoyed today's show, you can find more at iloveinspired.com. You've been listening to Rhymes with Decora, a podcast project of Inspired Media. Over 60 shows available, also at decora.fun. It'll take you right to the player. You can find more there. We appreciate being able to tell these stories and supporting all that happens in our communities. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you next time on Rhymes with Decora.
Rhymes with Decora is a project of Inspired Media. Find us online at iloveinspired.com.